A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been deep in the weeds with on-device dictation on Android, specifically running Futo's voice keyboard on a OnePlus Nord 3, and he's hit that exact point where the promise of the thing is right there, but it won't quite land. He's got three questions wrapped around one frustration. One, when you're shopping for an Android phone specifically to run local speech, to text, well, what spec are you actually hunting for? Because it's not GPU VRAM like on desktop. 2. These models choke on anything longer than about 30 seconds because of fixed attention windows. Are there architectures that get around that on mobile hardware? And 3. Why has the whole dictation app world split into two camps? Voice keyboards for short stuff and long-form transcription apps for everything else, when most people just want one tool that does both.
This is a perfect case study, honestly. The Nord 3 is right at the edge of what's viable, and Daniel's experience of being just below the accuracy threshold. That's not a feeling. That's measurable. Word error rate above about 10 to 12%, and you spend more time fixing than typing. The phone can almost do it, and that almost is where the whole industry is right now.
So what's actually missing? Let's start with the silicon.
The thing to understand first is that Whisper and its derivatives, Futo uses Whisper.cpp under the hood, were built for server hardware. You've got a model that expects effectively unlimited memory and a fast GPU, and you're squeezing it into a thermal envelope the size of a cracker. The Nord 3 runs a MediaTek Dimensity 9000. It's got a capable GPU, but it doesn't have a dedicated NPU pipeline tuned for transformer-based ASR. It's running what amounts to a general-purpose compute shader.
So the model's doing the work, but on the wrong kind of hardware.
Exactly the wrong kind. Or, not exactly, it runs. But the question Daniel asked about what spec to target, that's the key. On desktop, you look at GPU VRAM. On Android, the number that matters is TOPS, trillion operations per second, and specifically INT8, TOPS on the NPU. Qualcomm's Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 and the newer 8 Elite have a hexagon NPU that delivers about 45 TOPS for INT8 inference. MediaTek's Dimensity 9300 has a similar APU. The Dimensity 9000 in Daniel's Nord 3? Roughly 20 TOPS.
Half the throughput.
Half. And here's why that number bites. A full transcription of 30 seconds of audio with the Whisper small model requires about 6 to 7 billion FLOPs. At 45 TOPS, that's roughly 150 milliseconds of inference. You don't even notice it. At 20 TOPS, you're looking at 350 milliseconds plus, and the phone starts thermal throttling after one or two transcriptions.
Wait. 350 milliseconds is still faster than real time. Why would throttling kick in that fast?
Because TOPS is a peak number measured in ideal conditions, it assumes the model weights are sitting in fast memory, the NPU's systolic array is fully utilized, and nothing else is competing for bandwidth. On a phone, none of that's true. The real bottleneck, and this is the part most spec sheets hide, is memory bandwidth.
Say more.
Whisper's encoder is a transformer. 6 layers, 384 dimensional hidden states. Every layer reads and writes its attention matrices, and those reads and writes compete with the GPU, the display controller, the modem, everything else on the memory bus. The Nord 3 uses LPDDR5X at 8533 megabits per second on what's likely a 4-channel config. That gives you about 68 gigabytes per second of bandwidth.
And for comparison,
a desktop RTX 4090 has about a terabyte per second. The phone's got less than 7% of that, and the Whisper small model weights alone are about 240 megabytes. Every inference pass, those weights have to be paged in and out of shared memory. On a desktop GPU, they sit in VRAM and stay there. On a phone, they're competing with your background apps, your launcher, the keyboard process itself.
So the spec Daniel should be looking at isn't just TOPS. It's TOPS plus memory bandwidth plus whether the NPU has a direct path to that memory.
That's the trifecta. And there's a fourth thing that's harder to spec shop for, the NPU programming model. Qualcomm has their QNN SDK. MediaTek has NeuroPilot. Both are proprietary and model format specific. Fudo and Whisper.cpp don't use either of them. They run on GPU via OpenCL or Vulkan Compute. That's portable, it works on almost anything, but it's not optimized for the NPU's systolic array.
So you could have the same model on the same chip, and if someone did the integration work to run it through QNN instead of Vulkan, it'd be 2 to 3 times faster.
Easily. But nobody's done that integration for a keyboard. It's a huge engineering lift for a free app. The Whisper.cpp, Vulkan backend benchmark on a OnePlus 12 with a Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 versus a Nord 3. You're looking at roughly a 2.5 times difference in real-time factor. Same code, same model, different silicon.
That's the gap between this works, and I'm fixing more than I'm typing.
And it's not just the peak speed, it's consistency. The Dimensity 9000's APU was designed more for camera processing and gaming upscaling than for running transformer inference continuously. It doesn't have the dedicated transformer acceleration blocks that the Hexagon NPU in the 8 Elite added. Anantech did a deep dive on that chip. Qualcomm specifically added hardware support for the attention mechanism, the multi-head attention computation that transformers spend most of their time on. MediaTek's APU on the 9000 series just brute forces it.
So, Daniel's Nord 3 is running a model architecture that lives and dies on attention, on a chip that wasn't built to accelerate attention.
Right, and it still almost works. That's the impressive part.
Which brings us to the second question. Even if you fix the hardware, there's a deeper problem with how these models handle anything longer than about 30 seconds. What's actually happening at that boundary?
Whisper's encoder has a fixed context window. 30 seconds of audio at 16 kHz. That's baked into the architecture. It's a fixed-length self-attention mechanism. The model sees exactly 30 seconds, no more. For anything longer, you have to segment the audio and process it in chunks.
And stitching those chunks back together is where it falls apart.
Spectacularly. The naive approach is just concatenate the outputs. But each chunk was processed independently. The model had no cross-attention between chunk 1 and chunk 2. So, you get transcription errors at the boundaries. You get duplicated words. You get dropped sentences. Whisper.cp has an experimental mode called Transcribe with Fallback that reprocesses overlapping windows and stitches them via timestamp alignment.
Overlapping windows, meaning you process chunk 1, then chunk 2 starts partway through chunk 1. So there's some shared context.
That's the idea. But it's O of n squared in memory because every overlap is a new inference pass. On desktop, that's annoying. On mobile, for anything longer than about 60 seconds, it breaks. Fudo's GitHub issues, number 47 and 89, document this explicitly. The chunking and reassembly is a known hard problem, and it's not production grade on mobile yet.
So the 30-second ceiling isn't a bug. It's the fundamental shape of the architecture.
And that's the misconception that drives people crazy. They think it's a software limitation someone forgot to fix. It's not. It's that the transformer's self-attention was designed for fixed-length sequences, and extending that to arbitrary-length audio while keeping latency low and memory usage flat is, I don't want to say unsolved, but it's unsolved on a phone.
Are there architectures that sidestep this entirely?
Three approaches worth talking about. The first is the one Google uses in their recorder app on Pixels. It's not a Whisper-style transformer at all. It's an RNNT. A recurrent neural network transducer. Recurrent models carry a hidden state forward indefinitely. There's no fixed window because the state just keeps updating. A 2024 paper described Google's on-device model as a 30 million parameter RNNT running on the Pixel's Tensor NPU at about 2 times real time. No chunking, no stitching, no 30-second ceiling.
So why isn't everyone using RNNT?
Accuracy. On short utterances, Whisper-style transformers generally beat RNNTs by a meaningful margin, especially on accented speech or noisy environments. The recurrent state is a compressed representation. It loses information over time. Transformers attend to the whole input at once, and nothing gets compressed away.
So you trade unlimited length for per-word accuracy.
That's the trade. Approach 2 is chunked attention with a compressed memory. Architectures like Transformer, XL, or something called EMO. The idea is you process chunks, but you maintain a compressed representation of previous chunks that the current chunk can attend to. It's like giving the model a summary of what came before instead of the full text. Works well in research, hard to make fast on mobile because the memory compression itself is a compute cost.
In approach 3,
cascaded systems. A small, always-on model, say a 10 million parameter conformer, that's fast enough to run continuously. It detects sentence boundaries and passes segments to a larger whisper model for accurate transcription. The small model does the chunking intelligently instead of just slicing at 30-second intervals. Otter.a's mobile app does something like this internally.
That's clever. Let the cheap model decide where the cuts go.
And it solves the boundary problem because the small model is looking for natural breaks, ends of sentences, pauses, so the whisper chunks start and end at points where cross-attention matters less, but it adds latency. The small model runs, then the large model runs, and the user is waiting for both.
Which gets us to Daniel's third question, the bifurcation. Voice keyboards versus long-form transcription apps. Why can't one tool do both?
Because the architectural demands are almost opposite. A voice keyboard, Futo, Gboard voice typing, SwiftKey, needs sub-500 millisecond end-to-end latency. You speak, the words appear, or it feels broken. That means streaming models, causal attention. The model can only look at what it's already heard, not what's coming next, and aggressive optimization for short utterances. You're transcribing a sentence, maybe two.
Whereas a long-form app like Otter, or Google Recorder, or Tactique can afford 2 or 3 seconds of latency, because you're not watching the words appear in real time.
Right. They batch process. They can use bidirectional attention. The model sees the whole chunk, past and future context, which is more accurate. They can run larger models because the latency budget is bigger. The architectures are fundamentally different, streaming versus batch, recurrent versus transformer, causal versus bidirectional attention.
So asking for one tool that does both is asking for one architecture that's optimized for contradictory things.
With current approaches, yes, but a hybrid is possible in theory. You run a lightweight streaming front end for real-time feedback. The words appear as you speak, and then a background. Whisper Pass cleans everything up for final accuracy. Futo's roadmap mentions this, but it's not implemented.
What's the hard part?
State management. The streaming model's output and the batch model's output will diverge. They'll make different mistakes. The streaming model might hear there, and the batch model, with more context, correctly transcribes there. So the text on screen changes after you've already seen it. Words flicker, sentences rearrange. Reconciling the two outputs without the user feeling like the keyboard is arguing with itself, that's a hard UX problem.
It's the autocorrect problem, but with whole sentences shifting under you.
And it's worse because the corrections can arrive seconds after you've moved on to the next thought. You glance back and the word you already accepted has changed. Do you trust the correction? Did it get better or worse? The user now has to proofread in two passes. Once as the streaming text appears, once after the batch model finishes.
So the split isn't just an accident of different companies building different things. It's a real tension in what the models can do.
And it's the same split that existed in desktop dictation 20 years ago. Dragon, naturally speaking, had separate dictation and command modes until version 8 in 2005. You couldn't dictate a letter and say select previous paragraph in the same mode. You had to switch.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I didn't either until I was digging into this. The parallel is almost exact. Dictation mode optimized for long-form accuracy with a latency budget. Command mode optimized for low-latency short utterances with a restricted vocabulary. Same product, two modes, because the architecture couldn't do both well.
We're still fighting the same fight, just on smaller hardware.
Smaller hardware, but the accuracy numbers have improved by orders of magnitude. Dragon in 2002 needed a $200 noise-canceling headset and a desktop Pentium 4. Now we're annoyed that a phone in our pocket gets 90% of the way there on a free app.
Speaking of microphones.
Go on.
We've been talking about NPUs and attention windows and memory bandwidth, but there's a whole hardware layer we haven't touched. The thing that actually captures the sound.
The MEMIS microphone array. You're right. And that's, garbage in, garbage out was true in 2002, and it's true now. The Nord 3 has a bottom-firing mic. It's fine for phone calls. It's not optimized for dictation in a room with any ambient noise.
Daniel mentioned using this in places where connectivity drops. Could be a car, could be outside, could be a room with a fan running. The mic quality starts to matter a lot.
Pixel phones have multiple mics with active noise cancellation tuned specifically for speech. Samsung's flagships have similar arrays. The spec Daniel should be looking at isn't just the NPU, it's the number of MEMS microphones and whether the phone does any onboard audio processing before the signal hits the ASR model. Beamforming, echo cancellation, noise suppression. Those happen in the audio DSP before the model ever sees the samples.
On a Nord 3?
Basic noise suppression, single mic path for most apps. The Fudo keyboard is getting whatever the Android audio framework hands it, and that's already a degraded signal compared to what a Pixel's audio pipeline would produce from the same room.
Some of Daniel's accuracy frustration might be solvable without a new phone, an external mic.
A USB-C lavalier would make a measurable difference even on the same Nord 3. The model's getting cleaner input, it makes fewer errors, the whole thing feels faster because there's less correction. It's not as elegant as just pulling out your phone and talking, but if you're sitting down to dictate something long, it's the single cheapest upgrade.
You're all talking about attention windows and NPU tops, and that's fine, but you're missing the real bottleneck. The microphone. Daniel's Nord 3 has a bottom-firing mic with a 22 kHz sample rate and no active noise cancellation. I tested the same Fudo keyboard on a Pixel 8 Pro, same Snapdragon chip as the OnePlus 12 roughly, and got 30% lower word error rate just from the mic array. Same model, same app, different phone. The hardware spec you should be looking at isn't just the NPU, it's the MEMS microphone quality and the number of mics.
30% isn't subtle.
It's the difference between this warps and I'm fixing every third word. I know because I tested it. I worked QA for Nuance back in the early 2000s. Dragon Naturally Speaking, the first continuous dictation product that actually shipped. We had a test lab with 40 different microphone headsets, and the same version of Dragon on the same machine would produce word error rates from 6% to 22%, depending on which headset was plugged in. The software was identical. The mic was everything.
40 headsets.
I still have them. They're in a box in the garage. Dragon branded the ones that shipped in the box with version 5. When the Connecticut office closed, I took the test inventory. They said nobody would miss 40 identical headsets. They were wrong about that, but I was already in the parking lot.
What was the best one?
The Andrea NC8100. USB, active noise cancellation, $180 in 2002. With that headset, Dragon was almost magical. Without it, same machine, you sounded drunk. The point is, Daniel's frustration might be partially solvable with a $30 USB-C lavalier on the same phone. Better signal in, better text out. Nobody wants to hear that because it's not a software fix and you can't download it.
The mic point is overlooked in every discussion of on-device ASR. Everyone benchmarks the model, the chip, the framework. Nobody benchmarks the acoustic path.
Because it's boring. But the boring thing is usually what's actually broken. That was true in 2002 with the Pentium 4 and a noise-canceling headset, and it's true now with a Dimensity 9000 and a bottom-firing phone mic. The physics of sound in a room haven't changed.
The other thing Hilbert's Dragon story surfaces is that split we were talking about. Dictation mode versus command mode. They were literally separate products inside the same application until version 8.
Separate installers, separate training profiles. You trained Dragon for your voice in dictation mode, and then you trained it again for command mode because the acoustic models were different. If you tried to use command mode with a dictation profile, it'd miss every third utterance. Users hated it. They wanted to say new paragraph without switching modes. Took until 2005 to merge them, and even then it was janky for another two versions.
That's exactly the same architectural tension we're seeing now between streaming keyboards and batch transcription apps. The models are different, the latency budgets are different, the attention patterns are different. Merging them isn't just a product decision, it's an unsolved engineering problem.
The solution then wasn't one model to rule them all. It was a context switching layer that detected whether you were dictating or commanding based on prosody and vocabulary, then routed to the appropriate model. Basically, the cascaded approach you described, but 30 years earlier and running on a single core processor.
We've been here before. Same problem, different silicon.
Same problem, different silicon, same 40 headsets in my garage.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether the next generation of Android NPUs makes the accuracy threshold irrelevant. The rumored Snapdragon 9 Gen 1 is supposed to hit over 100 tops. At that point, the Whisper small model runs in what, 75 milliseconds? The thermal envelope still matters, but the peak throughput starts to make the model size trade-off less painful. You could run the medium model, get better accuracy, and still be under the latency budget.
But does that solve the attention window problem? More tops doesn't give you longer context. It just processes the same 30-second window faster.
No, it doesn't. And that's the thing. Compute gets cheaper every year, but the architectural constraint, fixed-length self-attention, doesn't budge. You can throw more flops at the chunking problem, do more overlapping windows, run a smarter segmentation model, but you're still working around a fundamental design choice in the transformer architecture. Until someone ships a streaming transformer that matches Whisper's accuracy, or an RNNT that catches up on per-word quality, the 30-second ceiling stays.
Daniel's frustration is a sign that the market is ready for a unified tool, but the tech stack isn't. The hybrid streaming plus batch architecture is the most promising path, but it needs two things that don't exist yet. Hardware vendors exposing NPU pipelines tuned for streaming models, and app developers building the reconciliation layer so the text doesn't flicker.
The reconciliation layer is the part I think is actually hardest. Not because the ML is impossible, but because the UX tolerance for text changing after the fact is basically zero. We've trained users for a decade that what appears on screen is final. Undoing that expectation is harder than training the model.
The cutting room floor detail I couldn't fit in earlier. Whisper actually outputs log probabilities for every token it generates. You can use those to identify which words it's least confident about and highlight them in the UI. Basically saying, I think this is right, but check here. Fruto doesn't surface that yet, but it's in the whisper.cpp output. That alone would change the post-editing experience from hunting for errors to verifying flagged words. Different problem than the attention window, but it's the kind of thing that makes the accuracy threshold feel less punishing while the hardware catches up.
That's a good note to land on. The hardware's coming. The architectures are evolving. But in the meantime, there are things in the pipeline already. Better mics, confidence scores, smarter chunking, that close the gap without requiring a new phone or a new model architecture.
If you got a phone that handles on-device dictation well or terribly, we want to hear your spec and your experience. Drop us a note at show@myweirdprompts.com.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.